Well, happy Father's Day on the day when we're told parents will be betrayed by their children. Please take a seat. To those of you who are fathers, those of us who have the work of being fatherly in whatever form that may take, blessings on this day. I've got a bit of a confession to make. After a great discussion at Sermon Circle this last Wednesday, we discovered that the readings we had been talking about are actually the readings for next week. So I didn't really have a chance to look at these readings until I got back from Campbell River yesterday evening, where we had a great time at Stephanie's installation as incumbent of St. Peter's there. So this may be a little bit of a last-minute sermon. And having said that, I love these readings. There was an option, and yes, I'm sorry, Carolan, there was an option for edited versions of them, but I opted to have the longer versions of both the Genesis and the Gospel reading today, so Carolan was lumbered with a significant piece of scripture to read, as was Al. But I love them. When I read them, particularly the reading from the Hebrew scriptures, they lifted my heart and they challenged me, and I could talk for hours on this, which is actually normally the danger when it's a last-minute sermon, but I've worked really hard not to write too much. I want to look at Abraham, or rather Abraham and Sarah, who is now actually Abraham, having been Abraham last week. Their encounter with God in the form of these three visitors. Now I'm going to try and contain my excitement about the many layers that are there within this piece of the Hebrew scripture and remain as coherent as possible for the next few minutes. So my first thought on this is a slight digression, one which you may have noticed as you listen to the reading today, or you may have known this for years. The passage begins with the statement, "The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre," which I think is a great name for a folk group, by the way. And then it goes on to describe three men appearing at the doorway of the tent. Some theologians have said that this is a hint of Trinitarian theology early on in Hebrew thinking. I think that's co-opting a text from our Hebrew forebears, to be honest, to make a Christian statement, and that at its best that's cultural appropriation, and at its worst it's supersessionism, taking the teachings of our Hebrew forebears as somehow inferior and making it meaningful only by relating it through our own Christian lens. So what is striking for me is not trying to shoehorn Christian theology into a Jewish text, but the way in which our Hebrew forebears are entirely comfortable with a multiplicity of expressions of the divine. Though deeply monotheistic, there is still an openness to the idea that God may appear in many and various ways. It's a word that the church needs to hear again and again. God is seen in the unexpected, the different, the diverse, the queer, the racialized, the unloved, the unlovely, the old and the young, the non-binary and the non-believer. God is there. Every effort to try and contain and narrow down where God might be present is only going to fail. And in this Pride Month, against a background of a rise of hate speech and intolerance, we continue to affirm and celebrate God's generous gift of a multiplicity of gender and sexual identity. Thank God for the deep diversity of humanity. We have to continue to stand up for gender, sexual, racial, and cultural justice for all. But there's more. Look at Abraham and Sarah's reaction to the arrival of these three mysterious figures who are apparently divine. Welcome and hospitality. Bread, fresh meat, curds, and milk. No hesitation. And it's not just because these visitors are perceived as divine. This is the way of so many cultures. My experiences recently in Kenya was that wherever I appeared, in homes, churches, or at the Bishop Hannington Institute, I was greeted with chapati and chai masala. No matter, without being asked, no matter how little or how much people have. The welcome and the hospitality are always there, given generously and without thought. Even if, like me, you come from a different place and you have different opinions and different ways of understanding the world, even when we had disagreements, the hospitality and the welcome were still there at the heart of every interaction. And I think that alongside the challenge of affirming and celebrating diversity in our common life comes a question of what hospitality and welcome means for us today. Not that we are in any ways unwelcoming, but that natural and unequivocal hospitality so deeply ingrained in non-Western cultures is something I believe we should aspire to. My wife Sabina she told me to take this bit out, but I'm still going to say it, still expresses surprise when there's no food available at a place of worship. For Sri Guru Nanak, the first of the gurus and the founder of Sikhi, said that any who attended his gatherings would always be fed and showed hospitality. Not that she's complaining, and for a non-churchgoer, she's always worth listening to after she's attended a service. Her insights are thoughtful and often challenging. But this sense of hospitality is ingrained in so many cultures. Even as in Western culture, we have contracted into often separate family units or as individuals. In her sermon at Stephanie's licensing, Bishop Anna pointed out that in Campbell River, indeed throughout Canada, the largest growing demographic is single and two-person households. I would be surprised if that wasn't the case here. Alongside this is a growing trend to social isolation, leading to loneliness, mental and physical health problems. This, perhaps to move to our gospel reading for a moment, is the field that may be ready for harvest. Not to put bums on seats, but to offer what the church can do when it is at its best, being a place of welcome, a place of home, a place of belonging. We are faced in our city and in our country with an aging population and an increasingly lonely one, and we have the opportunity to be good for these people. To quote Bishop Anna again, which I think is a sign that we have a really good bishop because he gave me so much food for thought, our scriptures are full of the calling to reach out to the outsider, to the widow, to the orphan, to those in need. And it seems that that is exactly who God is sending us. So let's work with what we have, not what we wish we had. As an aside, can I encourage you to check out Bishop Anna's sermon on the Campbell River, St. Peter's Campbell River website? It was very well worth looking at. So what would this kind of radical hospitality look like for us? We're already a welcoming and loving community, and I say with deep gratitude, thank you for all that you do and all that you are in being a place where people are welcomed, where there is so much loving and gracious embrace. But what more can we do to meet the deep needs outside of our door? And lastly, this is a good Anglican sermon. It's got three parts. It would only be improved if they all started with the same letter, but here we go. Lastly, and this is what I got really excited about, there's something in this Abraham and Sarah story that really warms my heart. Laughter. Sarah laughs and calls her child Laughter, Isaac. She laughs at the possibility that she might bear a child in their twilight years. But the response of the visitors is just to point out that she laughed, not to chide or criticize, but to give a promise of new life and hope. Sarah and Abraham had already tried to go the surrogate route, with Abraham fathering a child by his concubine Hagar, which we will hear more about next week because I've already discussed those readings. But the promise of Abraham and Sarah being the parents of a great nation was still to be fulfilled. This indeed is the work of the divine who is able to accomplish more than we can ask or imagine. The God who works with our laughter and our incredulity. The God who calls us to a bigger and a wider and a deeper vision than we already have. In our Hebrew scriptures, we have stories which remind us of the God of the unexpected, the God of abundance, the God of blessing, the God of grace. Through into our Christian scriptures, we are called again and again to see the work of God in the most unexpected places, to see Christ in the most unexpected people, not to declare unclean that which God has declared clean, to seek out the lost sheep, to have compassion on the outcast and the excluded, to love without limit and without judgment, to laugh with those who laugh, and to weep with those who weep. As Sarah laughed with incredulity at the promise of God's blessing, I hope we will be a laughing, good-humored community as we discern God at work within us, around us, and through us. In our lives of hospitality, in our celebration and affirmation of all people, in sharing worship, in faith, hope, and love, in being the people we are called to be. Thanks be to God. Amen.